4:30, I will now call to order this special meeting of Monday, March 13th, 2023. Will everybody please rise for the invocation, followed by the flag salute. Dear God, we humbly come before you today and ask for your wisdom as we go and interview these individuals. God, we also pray for a special blessing over all these applicants, Lord, and we thank you, God, that they have this willingness to serve our community. We ask a special blessing over each and every individual in our community. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Please face the flag of our country for the Pledge of Allegiance and begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you all very much. Will the city clerk please note that all council members are indeed present. At this time, I will open up public comments. Anybody wishing to address the La Habra City Council, please limit your comments to 3 minutes each. At this time, anybody wishing to address the council, please come forward. Anybody? Anybody once? Twice? Okay. We are now going to consideration items. Any member of the audience, they may wish to request to address the city council on any consideration item prior to the council taking a final vote. We're not going to be voting on an item, but if anybody wishes to speak regarding the interview process that we are doing at this time, please come forward at this time. Anybody? Anybody? Okay. We are now going to item number one, conduct interviews for annual expiring terms and two alternatives on the Planning Commission and the Community Services Commission. That the City Council conduct interviews for annual expiring terms and two alternatives on the alternates on the Planning Commission and Community Services Commission. So our first individual that's up here at 4:30 is Annette Limon. Yes. Annette, welcome. Thank you so much for wanting to apply for this position. Looks like you're down for Community Services Commission or Planning Commission. So either or. If you can just briefly tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll go through the interview process.
My name is Annette Guerra Limon, and I've lived in La Habra for about 44 and a half years. I came as a young bride, and I made this my home, and I worked here in La Habra. And I used to run the beauty college. I was down the street, and the wonderful part about that was I had a lot of youth, very important for me. I help many, many students from the surrounding high schools, teach them cosmetology, so by the time they were out of school, they already were professional. And I volunteered for the boosters for La Habra High School, combing all the drill team members for all their competitions. I volunteered at the Community Resource Center with Ray Sanchez for many, many years. I worked and volunteered for Meals on Wheels. I was in the board. I was an event planner for all their auctions and fundraisers. I've been on the board of the Kiwanis Club, where we work with all the surrounding schools to bring up grades, which is called the BUG program. And every September, we would take many students that were starting school shopping. And I also did all their events and auctions. I've been on the board of Our Lady Guadalupe Church for all their ministries. And also, I'm one of the ones that started the program on Operation Sandwich, where to this day, we still give sandwiches and lunches that we make up, and anybody is welcome to them from 8:30 to 12, and it's wonderful. I'm also on the, there's so many, I'm sorry, the Gary Center Gill, and we did fundraisers and the snack program every Thursday, which is now the VCC that I work with Scott Miller. We've worked for many years volunteering together, and so forth and so on. The Community Resource Center, the La Habra Life Center for 17 years. So I added up all the hours that I worked. I've been living in La Habra for 40, going on 44 years, but I have volunteered 45 years. Because along with working many years, I volunteered full-time also. So I believe in giving back. I love the children, especially the small children, where I adopt a program where I read a book and then donated to Arboleda. And it was just so many. And now that I'm retired, I want to do it full time, continue to serve my community that I love so much.
Well, you definitely have a heart of gold, Ms. Annette. We'll go with Steve Simone first for the first question. Steve?
Annette, why?
Turn on your mic, please.
I'm sorry. You know, how I met you was out in the community, you being a volunteer, and you do so much for so many. I first feel obligated to say thank you. But why now have you focused on the commissions? How do you feel that by serving on a commission, you could add to what you've already done?
I love La Habra, and I believe in the future. I believe in being equal with other cities that are building up their land, and as far as stores and homes, and making it more modern here in La Habra, where we just keep everything here instead of going anywhere else. But I also understand that there are rules and regulations and variances and in land that you can't just build. So I want to be part of that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Anything else, Steve? Okay, Jose.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Good afternoon, Annette. How are you today?
Doing good. Thank you very much.
And I'm going to piggyback on what Councilman Simone said. Thank you for your years of service. You go back a long way here in La Habra, and we do appreciate you. My question is, where do you see La Habra in the next 3 to 5 years? What's your vision? What would you like to see?
Dream. I see this place looking more beautiful. I see the houses around, even my neighborhood. How they're remodeling and painting and keeping up. Storefronts, big stores are moving in. The small people that have little houses, little businesses in their house, they're now going to the chamber. They want to be part of the community. So I see everything going good for La Habra.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Darren?
It's great to see you.
Thank you very much for being here.
You seem to have a lot of expertise when it comes to community services in particular, because you've been so involved in that element of our community, which, as you know, is called the caring community. We have a lot of bases covered when it comes to resources available to folks in the community. If there is a weak link, an area where the most improvement could be made, what do you see that to be?
I don't see a weak link. I see that everything is being built up, and there's a lot of nonprofits, and especially like the BCC, where there's a lot of work and donations that is feeding everybody in our community. And I know that in the next couple of years, we're gonna be one stop. Our community residents don't have to go out. We're gonna have everything they need here.
Okay, thank you very much.
Rose.
I see her as a glass half full, you know, so that's a good thing. I know you've always been out there in the community. You've been like an ambassador, even though you haven't had any title whatsoever, but you seem to be out there volunteering quite a lot. I wanted to ask you, are you bilingual? And if so, what language do you speak?
I'm bilingual. I speak English, Spanish.
Fluently?
Fluently, okay. Yes.
Okay. I wanted to ask you, if there is there an event or a project that you wish the city would offer that is not presently being offered? Anything that you see that we're missing an opportunity in?
What I see is there's a lot of Latinos that have businesses that are afraid to ask. How do they do it? They want to rent a storefront. They want to become part of the chamber, and that's what I've been doing with a lot of the Latinos, just like when I was running the beauty college. When I ran the beauty college, I was only 27 years old. I got all my credentials, and I even got my credentials for adult education for life. A lot of the Latinos would come into the beauty college and that worked all day, and they wanted a night program. So I asked Mr. Flavio, please give it to me, and I started night school. And we had 100 students at night. And they were learning English. They learned cosmetology. They learned how to get their license. And I think for the community, I think the city needs to make like a ABCD program for the bilinguals and how to get in business and how to join and incorporate their business as far as getting involved with the community, the chamber, and other people that are out there as far as like so they could advertise their business.
Okay, thank you.
Ms. Annette, thank you so much for your willingness to want to, and get yourself more involved in our community. Thank you very much.
Yes, you've been a big inspiration for me, Mr. Gomez. It's over 20 years ago that you gave me a little pin that I always wear when you first got into the city
council. You're very, very kind.
And Rose, Rose.
As long as I've known you, you've always been steady like a ship. Just your kindness just flows out to people. You love on people, and you truly live our motto, a caring community.
Thank you. And I just wanted to say to Rose Espinoza, you're an inspiration for many people here. I remember when you ran for the first time for city council and the fundraisers we had and your first walks at my beauty shop. We used to stand there with donuts and water for everybody that ran by. And Pro Tem, I think you're great. It's good to see you. I've been backing you up all the time, as you know, when you're running for the council. And Mr. Madronel, what can I say? You've been great. And an inspiration for many in the community as well as the mayor. And Mr. Simonian, we go back a long, long time I Love La Habra, and you used to actually walk those streets with your big leather jacket and just be so nice to everybody. And thank you. You all have jewels in your crown.
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
Annette. Thank you, Annette. Okay. Victor Santiago here. Is there a Victor Santiago? Come on up. Welcome, Victor Santiago. I'd like you, first of all, to start off. We have a 10-minute interview time here. And just tell us, first of all, a little bit about yourself.
My name is Victor Maria Santiago. I just moved to La Habra about 2 years ago, so I'm fairly new to the neighborhood. I actually work for the city of Cudahy. I'm a parks and recreation manager / director. I've been doing parks and rec for since I was in high school, since 99. So I've been working for the city of Cudahy since 99. I also do actually our parks and rec commission as well. I am the secretary, I'm in the board, not only in the board, but I've been working for the city for quite a while. So. One of the biggest things that I enjoy is just, you know, parks and recreation, arts, commissions. We try to do as much as we can with what we have. But that's really it.
Okay, thank you. Jose, you're going to be first this time?
All right. Welcome, Mr. Santiago, and thank you for your interest in applying for the Community Services Commission. And welcome to La Habra, 2 years.
Thank you.
We're glad you're making La Habra home. My question to you is... where do you see La Habra in the next 3 to 5 years? What's your vision for La Habra?
Like I said, I'm fairly new. I've been coming to the events you guys have been having on the weekends. Unfortunately, a lot of the events that we have ourselves are on the weekends, so I kind of miss them. But I do see it's moving forward. It's diversity. It's on the board itself. It's moving in the right direction. I can't tell you specifically what I'm looking for, but, everything changes.
Thank you.
Okay, Darren, you're up first, this second this time.
Mr. Santiago, welcome and thank you for being here. I'll ask you kind of the same question I asked just earlier, and that is with regard to any pressing need or anything that's lacking that you can perceive within our community, what would you, on the Community Services Commission, like to see the focus be upon?
It's always on the kids and families. More sports, more activities, more classes. That's the number one thing. I think anywhere you go, any other city you go to, it's always one of the big issues with a lot of cities is they don't have availability. And a lot of times we try to branch out to nonprofits or organizations that run it themselves, but they don't really see the care if you have in-house activities, because for them it's numbers, and really bottom line is how much money they make. So it's really not essential, but for me it's always been the kids and family. What kind of activities do we have for them, and what can we offer for them?
Okay, thank you very much.
Rose.
Now, you said you've lived here in our city of 2 years?
Yeah, I moved in 2 years ago. I think it's March, actually, like 4 days ago, will be my 2 year anniversary here.
Welcome. Bienvenidos. And I suppose you do speak two languages?
I do. I speak Spanish and English fluently, because where I work, it's basically a speaking-only community. So.
And I know your position most likely takes up a lot of your time, but have you ever volunteered here in the city of La Habra?
No. So, like I mentioned, it's just been 2 years. So this is part of my trying to see getting here and see what I can do and help out. And I'll be frank with you guys, my position and my job, it takes up a lot of time, and I'll try to help it as much as I can. Like anybody else, our sports activities that we have, it's always, recreation is always on the weekends, because yes, that's when people are out and about.
And having said that, will you have time to attend the meetings?
Yes, I saw that they were second Wednesdays at 6:30. So I'm here. So, yeah, I'll be able to attend the meetings.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Steve?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Santiago, thank you for making the application and taking the time to be here with us. I'm familiar with the city of Cudahy, a small, challenging community, not rolling around in money.
No, we're not.
How big of a department do you run?
It's, the city is 1.2 square miles. I think where I live is probably bigger than the city I work for. Well, not the house, but I mean the area. So we have a budget of probably $600K for the year. And we learned from a long time ago that we stretch a dollar or a quarter into a dollar as best as we can, because Parks and Rec always lacks funding. It's, even though it's the number one, aside from streets, obviously people want to make sure the streets are paved and everything's clean, that it's just having activities for kids and having programming, having special events, parks, movies in the parks, concerts in the parks. So we do have a limited budget.
And you're a department head?
Yeah, I'm a manager / director.
Okay. And even as a department head, you're probably out there on most events actually providing service yourself.
I'm out there at all events, since I'm the one that's planning most of our events.
Have you had an opportunity to attend any of our parks or recreation events?
Yes, actually, I was here during the fall. You guys had the event here, I can't remember the name, but I spoke to one of your artists that you guys had for the event, and I actually took her with you guys, from you guys, for our event, our 4th of July event. We have we don't call it 4th of July, Independence Day event. We do fireworks and most of what you guys have here. And I invited her. I think, I can't remember her name. She was one of the artists you guys had, because you guys had multiple artists that day. But yeah, I've been here.
So how do you feel you can contribute to our programs?
That's a good question. I don't know, just from experience, what I've been doing, doesn't mean it's going to work. Every city, every community is different. So just because I've been doing something for 20 years might be a little bit different here. But always experience and just providing knowledge, let them know what we've had, what we've done, and see if it worked.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Councilman Simonian. Thank you so much, Victor Santiago, for joining us today.
You're welcome.
Appreciate
you.
Appreciate it. Having that willingness to serve our community.
Thank you.
Okay, is Pascual Dino Aiello here? Welcome. Looks like you're listed here for Planning Commission.
Mr. Mayor, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I have to at this point put on the record that Dino is my nephew.
Okay.
So I must recuse myself from both the interview process and, of course, the voting process down the road. So at this point, I'll be leaving the dais. And if I forget to come back, somebody please get me.
Okay, so Darren was scheduled to go up first this time. Rose, you're up.
Okay. You're interested in the Planning Commission position, correct?
That is correct.
Now, why do you think that the Planning Commission would be a good fit for you?
Well, you know, the past, or I'm going on my 22nd year in law enforcement. I've served many other communities other than the community that I live. I've always loved La Habra since I was a teenager. I grew up in Hacienda Heights, and a lot of my friends lived here in La Habra. I'd come over the hill, and there's always been something about La Habra that has attracted me to the city, to the point where this is where I live now is my second time living in La Habra. So I love the city. I love serving communities, and I feel that being on the Planning Commission would be a good use of my time and my services.
One last question. Are you familiar with the La Habra General Plan or the housing element?
So the General Plan is the, we'll call it the Bible of where the city wants to be. I know it has to be renewed every 10 years with an outlook of where the city wants to be in the future. That being said, I would be basically, you know, looking at the general plan to recommend future projects to the council that would follow the general plan. Hopefully that made sense.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Rose. Steve.
Thank you for applying.
Appreciate that very much. Your interest is appreciated.
Thank you, sir.
I've looked at your resume, and it's kind of what you want to see in somebody applying. You've touched a lot of bases, even though you've had one job for many years. You moved around a lot within that job and touched a lot of positions. It's pleasing to see that you had some political contact and worked with city managers and city councils and
Correct.
Done all of that. So that's a plus. What do you know about our budget?
I know that currently La Habra budgeted about $55 million for the general fund. Total operating expenses for the city is about $160 million, roughly. Specifically, like where everything goes from there. Not sure if you want me to get more specific. I know our general fund is what we use to pay our salaries, our police, our fire. All our employees.
Okay. You're presently a lieutenant?
Correct.
How long have you been a lieutenant?
Almost 2 years.
I was in law enforcement for just under 40 years, a police chief for 10. I've always wanted to know, what the hell do lieutenants do? just kidding. It's okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Jose?
My first question is going to be to the councilman. Did you skip the rank of lieutenant on your way to becoming chief?
I did. They asked me to spell it. I couldn't, so they said, be a captain.
Oh, okay, good. Just wanted to make sure. Dino, thank you for your application, for your interest in the Planning Commission.
Thank you, sir.
My question is going to be along the lines of Measure T. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, but Measure T sunsets in the year 2028 for us, if not replaced with another like source of revenue. And considering that the city's practice is to pass balanced budgets, where or what do you think the city should cut in spending to offset the loss of $7 million in revenue that accounts for almost 13% of the general fund's revenue base?
Based on my experience on working with other, you know, other city governments, what I've read on our city's budget, I really don't see cuts, and that's across the board. Running a city is difficult because a lot of our constituents need and want services. That being said, I don't see any cuts. I know it does run out in 2028. It's a 20-year measure. And I foresee us planning how to either keep or replace that funding.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming in and your willingness again to serve.
Thank you.
Thank you. Can we get, I just texted him.
Pasquale, do they call you Pasquale at work?
No, sir, Dino.
Dino, that's what I thought. Thank you.
Dino.
Okay, our next applicant is Marie Laviaga.
Thanks, Jim.
Did you get my text?
I did.
Okay.
Good evening, Mayor.
Hi, hello. Welcome, ma'am. If you can just tell us a little bit about yourself, and
we'll go from there. My name is Maria Laviaga. I have been in the community for 38-ish years. As far as involvement, I started out with the kids in school. I did work outside of La Habra, so community-wise, I was not involved. I grew up with the kids in elementary, junior high, high school. They played sports, and of course, anything they did, my husband and I equally did. And so it's been a good journey. The kids were in high school, and I met Mark Sturdivant, who gave me the opportunity to volunteer with the chamber. And so that's how I became part of the chamber. I was Val the Orange at the Citrus Fair. That was my first assignment, and so that was a blast. We had a great time, and. We just got to know one another, and he asked if I'd come work with him. At the time, I was doing side jobs. I was doing worked at Disney. I worked at the Honda Center. I worked at Knott's Berry Farm. I was caring for my dad that was sick with leukemia. And so I was just doing side jobs. And so the chamber worked out really well. I could volunteer there as well and still be close to home for my dad. So that's kind of how I got started with the chamber. Once I became with the chamber, I thought, oh my gosh, this community is wonderful. I've been really missing out a lot in the residents, the people. And so I'd attend everything and I'd be a part of it and I'd push Mark to be a part of all the events. And then that's how I applied for this Community Services Commission. So I've served two terms and it just gave me an opportunity to be more involved and learn another aspect of community and government. So here we are today.
So. Thank you very much. Rose, you're up first.
Okay, well, you've been now, as you said, for a number of years with
two
the
terms,
Community
so
Service
years.
Commission.
Yeah.
And so I would ask you that the La Habra Boulevard corridor needs to be revitalized. What are your thoughts about how development along La Habra Boulevard could and should occur? And what do you think the city has? What role do you think the city has in this process?
That's a difficult question. In that, what I've been told and following along, I attend all the city council members' meetings, so I kind of follow along what's going on. What I've been told is that there's a lot of individual owners that still have stake in that in La Habra Boulevard, and so for that reason, it's a little difficult. I think that, and I'd have to really check if the CBDG money could qualify for that area, but if maybe we just did an uplift, you know, and maybe get the privately owned businesses or residents to just paint and beautify their little area until such time that the city could acquire or however that goes out in the future.
And I'm going to ask this question. I ask it only because a community service is trying to, you know, reach out to everyone in our city. And so I ask, are you bilingual? And if so, are you fluent in those languages?
I am bilingual. I can get by. I don't consider myself first language by any stretch of the imagination. So what I do with our chamber people is I say, okay, you speak to me in English, and I will speak to you in Spanish. And so we practice with one another, a lot of our bilingual or first language Spanish-speaking people. So I've been able to learn a lot more than I did in the past, but still, I to try to read and write, that takes me a little bit of time.
Thank you.
Steve.
Thank you very much for applying again. You've served two terms.
Yes.
And seeking a third term.
Correct.
Is there something out there, Ms. Laviaga, that you want to accomplish that hasn't come up in the past two terms?
That hasn't come. You have to remember, I was in the weird terms. So it was our first, then it was COVID. So I was the chair during COVID. So I'm looking to really try to get back to where we were before. The communication, the attendance in events, not only with the chamber, but city events. They're doing very well, you know, but that's what I would like to see. I'd like to just see us grow and get back to where we were pre-pandemic.
The budgets are kind of static. They pretty much stay the same year after year. We had some luck in the past and some years that weren't so lucky that we had to make cuts. But do you feel there's an adequate amount of money set aside for recreation in this community?
Could always use more. we do very well as far as programs. So I think that they're coming along. I really do. And anytime that I get an opportunity, I do a little plug for the city. For example, when we do our bands for the Citrus Fair, we don't have to do the three bid and we don't have to do those sort of things that maybe the department has to do. So I'll tell them, you know, I know that there's going to be city people there. And so hoping that, and that's how Suave came through Jim, but there's a couple of bands that have played in other events that were originally at the Citrus Fair. So I kind of try to push them in that way, that there's other opportunities, not just to try to maintain the budget, because we, you know, obviously we can't spend a lot of money either. But no, I think you do very well. I think the department does very well in their events, and
do you think there's anything more that the council can do to assist the commission in the exercise of their duties?
I would say probably more the inclusiveness. We are not a policymaking. We are a advisory. And so maybe including us. I know I served in a number of committees, not just the CBDG, but the special events, and I've done childhood as well. But I was never at a meeting in any of that planning phase of it. So perhaps being a little bit more inclusive and allowing us to advise if we need to advise. I did, one of the last things that we did oversee was the statue over at the new location on, by Northgate, the province building. It's a statue that's sitting out in the back. So that was kind of fun to see it proposed to us and us, you know, comment on it and then actually see it in place. So those sort of things, and it's we feel more included if we can participate in some of the meetings. And I believe going forward, I remember Kim stating that the meetings are going to come back. You know, there was a pause with COVID for the couple of years or 3 years. So things coming back, it'll be good.
Okay, thank you.
Jose?
Thank you, Marie, again, for reapplying and for your interest in a third term. We appreciate your commitment to the community, your continued commitment to the community. At that, so I'm going to ask you two things, but you had alluded to having more funding, it seems, when Councilman Simonian had asked you about programs that we could use more. Where would you, as an advisor, and speaking of inclusiveness, where would we get more funding for some of these programs? What just off the top of your head?
I don't remember saying that you needed more funding. I said that you did a very good job.
Oh, okay. No, I just, there was something in there about maybe needing more, or when it came to programs, where would you want to add to the programs, and how would you want to add?
The only thing I think I would add is something that Rose is really pushing, mm-hmm. is having the bilingual. Maybe the community events, not just the events, but like the classes, mm-hmm. having more bilingual classes. And I think people just in numbers feel strengthened and would feel a little bit more comfortable. So I agree with you, Rose, wholeheartedly to bring more bilingual.
One last question, and community services related. Where do you see La Habra in the next 3 to 5 years? What's your vision? What do you foresee happening?
Growth, for sure.
Okay, and when you say growth, and I'm going to ask you to remove your business chamber hat, so to speak. Let's just focus
on
the city.
That's a little difficult.
No, I know, and you do a great job for the chamber. But think about the city itself. Where do you see it going in 3 to 5 years, your vision?
Well, the reason that I say it is difficult is because the stronger the businesses are, I really do feel, the stronger the city will be.
Yeah.
So it is difficult to remove it and separate it. We have a good city, and that's why I'm so adamant about being involved and knowing what's going on. And the more you understand, the better equipped you are, you know, to do whatever it is it could be. In this case, the community services. So I think it's growth, definitely. We can only get better.
Hi, Marie. Thank you for applying. Nice to see you. I agree with you that we do have a tremendous number of programs, resources, and great things in this city. You know, a lot of that is budget-driven, and as you know, in 2028, we're going to have sunsetting Measure T, the sales tax measure.
Mm-hmm.
And if that does not continue, that's $7 million a year, or almost 13% of our entire budget would go away. So how do you think we should prepare for that? If Measure T doesn't get renewed, then where would we cut? What's your thinking about that?
Well, that goes to what I talked to you about before the election and explaining to me how you were not going to increase taxes or how you were not going to sustain the taxes. I mean, that's something we've discussed already. But I'm thinking, well, one, you're going to have to do something. And so I would be willing to put the information out, be very transparent with the community as to what they're going to lose, what will happen if that money is gone, and just be honest about it. You know, that's all I can say, is that the transparency and the honesty with the community is going to be key to them wanting continued services or not. You know, that's all I can say, is really, really being honest about it.
All right, that's good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, ma'am.
Okay. Can I just say one thing?
You may.
I do want to thank you for allowing me to serve. It's been a good 6 years. I know that you, and I'm going to get choked up, I know that you probably won't select me because of our current situation, but thank you. I've really learned a lot, and no matter what, I'll continue to be involved in our community through the chamber and through volunteering, through the Lions now. I mean, there's always plenty of opportunity. I don't have to have a title to be involved and make an impact. But I do thank you for your time.
You know, each one of us, this is something we grapple with every single selection. So you will not be treated any differently than anybody else. You'll be given a fair shot. Next person will be Roy Ramslin. Staff report, please.
How long you got? I can't do it in 10 minutes.
Steve, you're first. Oh, I'm sorry. Can you give us a little bit, tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, I'm Roy Ramslin. I've been a citizen of La Habra for over 40 years. I spent 37 plus years as a professional planner, over 20 years in community service with the Lions Club, heavily involved in almost every event that happens in the city, including managing the Corn Festival for 13 years. So I just want to find a way to continue to serve my city.
Okay, Steve, you're up first.
Hi, Roy. Thank you very much for your continued attention to this city, even as a full-time employee, you spent as many hours off-duty working for the city as you did on-duty. So it didn't go unnoticed by anybody on the council. And we appreciated that very, very much.
Thank you.
I noticed that you put in for the Community Services Commission and the Planning Commission. I appreciate the fact that you did that. Out of curiosity, as a planning or a Community Services Commission commissioner, how do you think you can add to that mix? What do you bring to the table?
Clearly, my big skill set is in planning, but again, I think my many years of working in community service and working with lots of different organizations, I feel I can contribute to that commission as well in working the way they work with staff in planning community events. They also look at the CDBG allocations, which is a kind of a crossover from my planning career. And I just recently have been elected as president of the La Habra Historical Society. And I think with our centennial coming up, I think it would be a nice mix to have the Historic Society working with the commission.
Okay, thank you very much.
Jose?
Roy, there's probably not a question here that I can ask you that that you don't know the answer to, but I'm going to ask you the Measure T question. That one seems to be the elephant in the room, so to speak. As you already know, it sunsets in 2028. If for any reason it does not come about again, Measure T, what do you foresee as far as making up for $7 million in revenue? I mean, what? Give me your vision.
That would be absolutely devastating for the city. It's crucial that we work with the citizens and get that reapproved. Over 60% of the budget goes to public safety. That's not a place anybody's going to want to cut or need should be cut. So that leaves all that money coming out of all the other departments, which is devastating to all those other departments. It could close down all our community services events completely, I believe, if that happened.
Well said. Thank you, sir.
Darren?
Hi, Roy. Thanks for being here. Kind of a two-parter. With regard to the Planning Commission, how do you feel about our general approach to certification and all these challenges that we've had with HCD? And what do you think the future is with regard to our meeting those challenges, one? And then number two, with regard to Community Services Commission, I'll ask you the same question I asked twice before. Is there a weak link? Is there some area that we've neglected, haven't spent enough time and energy and resources on? What do you think that is? So, one and two.
That's about a 20-minute answer to each one. We'll go for the community services again. We keep talking about bilingual and reaching out and being all-inclusive, but I think we're missing a big portion of our population, which is our Asian population. We don't seem to put any effort, I don't think, into trying to work with the Koreans and the Chinese people that live in this city. And based on the last sentence, their numbers are increasing. And I think that's something we need to pay more attention to. As far as the challenges the state keeps throwing at the cities, I think you need a crystal ball to figure that one out because it's a new one every day. I think there's been like 200 new housing laws passed in the last 4 or 5 years. You know, everybody's challenged with trying to interpret and keep up with those, and they don't even give the city a chance to catch a breath as they're throwing new ones at us. So I think that's the biggest challenge facing the city is maintaining our autonomy as much as we can and letting there be local control over our land use decisions.
Anything else?
That's it. Thank you very much. Hey. Thanks, Roy.
Rose, you're next. And Roy seems to share the same vision with you about reaching out to the Asian community. You brought that up recently.
I had just brought that up. I had been always thinking about how we have sister cities. How can maybe the community service commissioners or something reach out to those from, that are from Mexico or the southern part of Mexico and their areas, because our sister city is San Miguel de Allende, one of them, and the other one is from Korea, Yeongpyeonggu. And I thought, how could we bring these two to help them to see what would you like us to do to celebrate those cultures? Because as you said, there's a growing community of Asians, and we saw that at an event that was here held in La Habra Boulevard just how many we saw that were participating. And it's not because they don't want to. It's just like we need to speak the language, which mine is very limited from what I learned when I went to Korea. But learn more, you know, and show them that we are all here and we want to thrive in the city of La Habra. So, yeah, I've always thought about our sister cities and what we can do to embrace them and to include them in any kind of involvement. I wanted to ask, in your opinion, what are the three most important issues facing the community, and how do you believe the city of La Habra should act to address those concerns? Or is there any?
Well, I think, you know, we've heard some talk already this afternoon about the rapid growth in La Habra and where we've come in the last 25 years. And we've reached great things as a community together in terms of public-private relationships, both in planning and in community services to help fund city programs. I think we need to focus on continuing to work on those. We need to look in as hard as we can into getting grant funds. The only way you're going to do anything with La Habra Boulevard is if the city invests money. The problem with the property owners don't have the money to invest. So it's kind of like the if you build it, they will come. And based on our budget, the only way we're going to get there is if we can get some grant funds and to really put a plan together and figure out exactly what it is we want La Habra Boulevard to be.
Roy, I'm right here. Anyway, I was just so pleasantly surprised to see you apply for the Planning Commission position and or Community Services. You have just done a tremendous job, and I was just elated when you were appointed to run as president of the Old Settlers Historical Society. You're the perfect fit for that organization as well. But I can just commend you for your many, many years of service here. You're really an unsung hero in our community, and I have a great deal of respect and admiration for you. Thank you.
Thanks, Roy. All
right,
thanks. Roy.
Is Danitza here, or Madeline, or Jason? Any of you?
We're still learning, I think.
We're a couple of minutes early.
Yeah, about 3 minutes early.
3 minutes early so far. You want a break? No. No, we're just 3 minutes. Anybody?
Thank you. Hello, everybody.
You're right on time.
Yes.
I'll let you get settled for a minute there.
I'm ready.
Well, it was a pleasure meeting you the other day, right?
Yes.
I get to meet you, right?
Yes, we met.
Everybody ready up here? Okay. Well, welcome, Dennis. How do you pronounce your last name?
Cardenas.
Okay. And you applied for Community Services Commission. Can you, we first start off, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. I've been a resident of La Habra for the last, since 2010. My husband and I bought a beautiful home out of Dexburg. Love it. So a little bit more. I am a proud mom of three boys. Three, and they all go to the low school district. A little bit more about myself. I do have a master's in social work. I'm a licensed clinical social worker. So working for the community is in my heart. It's in my career. That's what I do. Yeah.
Okay. We'll start off with asking some questions, and Jose Medrano will be first. Jose?
Danitza, you have three boys, huh?
Three boys.
How old are they?
One is about to turn 10. The other one's 8 and a 4-year-old.
All right. I've got three girls, but they're much older than your boys, but just the same. I get it.
Yeah.
To a degree, just the opposite. All right. So Community Services Commission, I'll ask you what I've asked everybody else.
Okay.
You're new to community. You'd be new to community services, correct?
Yes.
In any fashion. So where do you see La Habra in the next 3 to 5 years? What's your vision of where La Habra could be or should be?
In terms of services for our community, I think we could invest in a more community service activities, workshops, perhaps. I came up with a couple ideas, if you want to hear them. One of the ideas that I came up, especially with the fentanyl increase that's going on, I think perhaps giving more workshops to our community, not only that, but for mental health as well. More workshops, especially with the homeless increasing, one of the things that I thought about would be, okay, well, why don't we talk about what is depression, what's anxiety, what's schizophrenia, so that family members could understand what's going on, so that that way they seek the services, and therefore their loved ones don't have to end up homeless. So yeah, so I thought about some of the services. And also health. I think workshops on health, for example, would be like, what is diabetes, how to handle it, how to prevent it. I think that would be a great workshop for our community.
Thank you.
Darren.
Hi, Danitza, if I said that correctly.
You
Thank
did.
You. Mm-hmm. Thanks for being here. The question I was going to ask is really the one that Councilmember Medrano asked. Let me ask you, are you bilingual?
I am. Mm-hmm.
Fluently?
Fluently, yes.
Good. And have you participated and come to a lot of our events around town over the last 13 years or so?
To some of your events, yes.
Okay. Do you perceive any weaknesses in our community services programs that deserve more attention, aside from the ones you just mentioned? Anything you didn't think of?
Yes. I think the cost to some of the services could be lowered. For the mean of our community, the income mean, it's like between $83,000 to $88,000. And for example, for a mom of me, if I were to be single and taking three kids to an activity, it would cost a lot. Just to give you an example, I noticed you had your activity for the '70s groove race. Some cities hold similar events, and some cities will only charge their citizens about $15 per member, and therefore more members of the community could participate in those services. Now, that's just an example. Yeah, I think we're in a way also excluding some of the people that can't afford those activities.
All right, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Good answer.
Rose.
And Darren took my question.
I'm sorry, I
did. But I wanted to ask you, what do you hope to accomplish or achieve as a commissioner?
One of the things I would want to achieve would be making sure that we're providing adequate services to our community. So investing on those services would be important, and coming up with ideas that would best serve our community. What is the current issue that we're currently facing? One of the issues would be homelessness, the increase in drug use, the increase of death that are coming in our community that we're seeing daily. Now, just to let you know a little bit more about myself, I do work for the Department of Mental Health for LA County. So, and I do happen to run groups that are for perinatal, as well as grief groups. And one of the things we have been noticing in those groups is that we have a lot of loved ones that are losing members due to drug use or overdose. And so if we educate the public on that, I think that would be very essential.
Yeah. So I want to ask you also, what is an accomplishment that you are proud of?
There's two. One would be being a mom of three amazing little boys that I hope to inspire for them to achieve their dreams. Every day I wake up, what do I want to do for them? What do I want to do for my community? And what would make my parents proud? So even though as old as I am, I still want to make sure that I do that. Yes.
Thank you.
Steve?
Ms. Cardenas, first of all, thank you for taking the time to apply and for being here. I think by your words, you're a great daughter, and we appreciate that too. Always trying to seek your parents' pride is something that should never go away, even after they pass. You brought up making our events more affordable, and I don't think anybody up here disagrees. We actually spend hours and hours and hours trying to do that with every event. And I know, like Ms. Laviaga, who's a candidate for this position as well, can tell you, we heavily subsidize almost every program we put out there. We get all the vendors that provide services to our city to dig deep in their pockets and try to come up with donations so we can make things more affordable and still hold events that we're proud of and that are safe and that people will want to attend. So it's a really difficult balance. But as you know, you can only do so much with so little money. And so we're constantly looking at the balance of taxing and spending, and the demographics of this community are changing rapidly. It used to be a heavily Republican red city, and now it's moving rapidly to the blue Democratic city. And so there's a little more willingness sometimes to spend money where there wasn't before when it comes to taxation. But we're going to be losing a very valuable tax or fee shortly, within a year or two. And we're thinking about asking the people of this community, it's certainly one of our options, to vote and maintain that tax so we can continue to provide the services that we're presently providing. How would you feel about that?
About a tax increase.
It's not a tax increase. It's a tax, it's a fee continuance. Mm-hmm. It's called Measure T. We presently get money for this fee, and we would be losing it. It has a sunset clause to it. So it will be disappearing within the next 2 years. And so we have an option to ask the citizens of the community to say, hey, what do you think about continuing the services that we presently provide at the level that we provide them and continue that fee, or it can go away? How would you feel about it? What side would you be on?
Now, to give you just a little bit of background, virtually every city has a local revenue of tax or whatever you call it, fee, that generates that income for essential services. So just to give you a slight little background.
Yeah. Personally, I would be okay with it. It depends on, as a voter, I would want to know where's it going towards, especially when you read something and you want to know where it's going. It's very important to find out where it's going, how it's going to affect us income, or how it's going to affect us. So as a voter, I would probably say yes, especially if I know it's going to the community.
Okay. Thank you very much.
And that is important to, you know, ask those questions. You know, where's the money going? We always say about being transparent up here, and you should know, and we should ask those questions. So, but anyway, thank you very, very much. And I just want one question. I don't ask too many questions up here, but in the event that, we run into situations where we're trying to make appointments, would you also be willing down the road serve in any other capacity, whether it's Planning Commission or Beautification Committee in another capacity other than community services, if we had that opportunity available?
I think I would want to know what they do. I know about the Planning Committee, Beautifications I'm not so familiar with, so I wouldn't be able to say.
Okay, well, fair enough. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me
today.
Thank
you.
Thank you.
Did a very nice job. Thank you so much. Okay, it is now 5:30. Is Madeline Morrison here? Madeline, come on down. Welcome, welcome. Come on. Okay, Madeline, so what we're going to basically do is ask you to tell us a little bit about yourself, and then each one of the city council members we'll ask you a question, okay?
Sounds good.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Madeline Morrison. I've lived in La Habra. This spring will be 6 years. I live in the Country Hills West community, and I'm currently on the board for that community, for our neighborhood. And I'm a middle school principal for the Orange Unified School District. Previously, I did work here in La Habra and in Buena Park as assistant principal for the Fullerton Joint Unified School District. So I work, in education. I was a high school teacher for many, many years. And I have a 4-year-old daughter and a husband here in La Habra with me, and we enjoy living here.
Were you an assistant principal at La Habra High School?
Yes.
Really? Okay. Okay. Darren, you're first.
Oh, I am first.
Yes, you're up first.
Hi, Madeline. Nice to meet you.
Nice.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
All right. Same question I've asked a lot of other folks. Depending upon your familiarity with our community services programs, resources, things that we do for the community, should there be a new priority in any way, shape, or form? Are we lacking in any certain way? Is there room for improvement as far as you can tell?
You know, I think when I think of community services, I think, in looking at reading about what it does and historically in other cities, what it does, parks, things for youth, things, events, but, special activities, things like that. And I know reading that you're going to be making the new park, Vista Grande Park.
Grande,
and
right.
So that's going to be really exciting. You know, as a mom to a toddler, parks are really important. We love to go to the one up up on Idaho, Vista, I forgot the name of it.
Vista del Valle.
Yes, Vista del Valle Park. We've gone to many different ones here in the city. And so I think, investing in a nice park here in the city is going to be awesome. I know the trails, behind the hill where I am, they're trying to build some trails in there. So lots of recreation, I think is fun and needed. And, there's never... La Habra isn't lacking in, I think, fun things to do. There's always a festival, corn festival, tamale festival, some kind of fun thing happening. I have my daughter in a lot of the things the city offers through the Parks and Rec. There's plenty of things to choose from. And so I think we're on, the right track. I'm happy with what's offered with the city.
All right. Thank you very much.
Rose.
So you have attended...
Your microphone.
I've attended quite a number of events at the city hall.
Yes.
And habla diferentes lenguajes, ¿verdad?
Sí, sí, hablo español más o menos bien, pero necesito practicar más. Pero sí, entiendo.
¿Y otro idioma también, aparte de eso?
No, solamente español.
Okay.
Inglés, sí.
I asked her if she spoke any other languages. Yes, I saw that on your application. I also saw that your civic interest is libraries. Could you elaborate on that?
Yeah, next door to us right here it's small, but, a great resource for the community. And I grew up going to the libraries, That's maybe why I became a teacher and went into education, but they've always been important to me. My husband, not so much. And so he's kind of new to the library now that we have, you know, our young daughter. And, you know, he's saying things. I didn't know that, you know, they offer computers to residents. I didn't know they offer, you know, community events. I didn't know they offer, you know, resources for whatever people are needing, and that it's much more than just books. And so I said, yeah, they're really, you know, hubs of the city, and they offer some great things that people sometimes might not know to take advantage of. They're free. And so we've spent, you know, we spend a lot of time in the library here. And, you know, tomorrow night they're having actually for getting ready for kindergarten. So we're going to be going to that. And I just think that they're places that are more than just books. They're places where the community can come together and where you can better your community and offer things. And so, you know, I'm not on, you know, currently anything like a library board or a library, any kind of group, but that would definitely be something that would be interesting to me. Yeah.
Yes, I was surprised as well as to what the library offers. Mm-hmm. I tutor kids, and we chose to have pop-up tutoring in different parks. We needed hotspots.
Yeah.
And you can check those out, too, mm-hmm. at the library. They're in big demand by parents who only speak Spanish, that they or don't have the internet. And they needed them, and I had to actually wait a month before I could get mine. So I finally decided, no, I'll just get a cell phone and get as much hotspot as I can on that phone to help the kids. But, yeah, they are moving in so many directions, and the need's there for the library. So
Especially, like you said, helping the school-age children. There was lots of tutoring programs and things offered, homework help, homework assistance, things to ready for families, you know, with reading and things with just crafts, Legos, everything to get students ready for school.
Yeah. Thank mm-hmm. you so much.
Steve.
Yes. Thank you very much for coming today and wanting to participate in the process, number one, and then giving of your time if eventually placed on a commission. As I go over your application, you certainly appear to be busy already.
Yes.
Are you going to have the time to do this additional work?
Yes. I looked, you know, what the time frame, you know, what kind of a commitment it is, and I discussed it with my husband, who did say the same thing as you, who said, well, you know, what? Now what? What are you doing? And I, you know, I just, it just felt right. It felt like a type of commission that I'd like to be on. And he knows me by now. He knows, you know, that I'm a hard worker. He knows that I'm someone that likes to get involved in the community and likes to help. And so even though he made the same reference, he said, yes, go ahead. You know, he's supportive. So, yeah, it wouldn't be a problem.
Your husband didn't really come up with an innovative question. It's something that we're given as husbands.
Yes.
We just always
I think
ask
he that. Just realizes he does, I'm going to keep going doing what I'm doing. And, you know, luckily, like I said, he's supportive. And it was, you know, yesterday we went to a park down in Irvine, so not around here. And it was a really neat park. And they had a plaque and just when the park opened and different stuff. And so I was reading about it and it said, you know, dedicated by the commission, City Services Commission, you know, Community Services Commission. And it's the first time because I didn't know what this was before I had heard about it, honestly, and then reading about it on the website and the job description. And so I called him over. I said, look, I said, see, I said, this is the type of stuff that they are involved in and help plan and do. And I said, and it's neat to see, you know, it's up here on a wall and that it's a real thing. And it's a thing that makes a difference in communities. And so, you know, he gets it. He gets why I'd want to do this. And he's proud of the community and living here and as well. And so, you know, it's, yeah, not a problem, the evening commitment.
You're on the HOA board where you reside. Is there an issue that they have that brought you here?
No, not at all. Okay. In fact, you know, I know that, you know, Mr. Minixarian and Councilman Medrano, you've come to our neighborhood to speak and to do things. And, you know, it's a community that doesn't have a lot of young families. There aren't a lot of young people in that community. More so, they're starting to move in a little bit, but it's still, you know, an older community. And, you know, some of the things that maybe I hear them mention aren't some of the things that as a younger person that I see as a concern. You know, sometimes they speak on safety or they speak on traffic or they speak on different, but, you know, I, we're super happy there, and I, you know, I don't feel, you know, unsafe in the least or any you know, concerns related.
Thank you very much.
Jose?
Well, thank you for your interest and in applying for our Community Services Commission. I looked at your resume and your application. You're currently in a doctorate program, is that correct?
Yes, I'm on hiatus, you know, just having our daughter and being a school principal, and I just had a lot going on, and I'll get back to it. But right now I'm halfway through at Cal State Fullerton, but it's on pause right now. But that is the eventual goal. I do want to get there. I'll get there one day, eventually.
No, I'm sure you will. And a four-year-old daughter, you said,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Father of three daughters, so you know
okay.
What? Shoot for the moon,
yes.
Is what I say,
yes.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
My question, similar question for the other Community Services Commission applicants. You've been in La Habra for a little bit now. Where do you see La Habra in 3 to 5 years? What's your vision as a Community Services Commission member if you were to be selected?
You know, I like it being small. I like it kind of being a hidden gem. That's kind of how I look at La Habra. You know, when I was working here with the high school district, everyone knows La Habra because that's where we are, you know. Now I'm in Orange, and, you know, people are from Central Orange County or South Orange County, the beach communities, and, you know, they ask me where I live, and I say La Habra, and sometimes I get a look, sometimes I get confusion, they're not sure, and I have to say Whittier, Fullerton, you know. A lot of them, they know where it is, but they've never been here because, you know, there isn't a freeway that runs through. There isn't sometimes big reasons why, if you're not coming here for something, why you'd come through. Sometimes they're even surprised it's in Orange County. They say, I thought that was LA County. I go right on the edge, you know. But, you know, so I'd like to keep it, you know, small, that close-knit community feel that it has. But revitalizing some of this maybe downtown area, kind of making it attractive to young people to kind of not make it something like downtown Fullerton is or just like what Brea is, but just something where it does have a little sparkle to it, and maybe making it seem a little bit more attractive towards people that might not think of La Habra just off the bat, that it is a special city, it is a really cool place to live, and you know, I think that you know, there's some buildings here that maybe are a little old or just you know, it's there's obviously a downtown kind of area like right in front of us down Euclid, but there isn't really a lot going on, and that might be, you know, something to think about for the future of where La Habra wants to go.
Thank you.
Dodgers or Angels?
Dodgers, Dodgers.
Oh, all right.
Dodgers.
Good
that's
answer,
why,
good
but
answer.
That's why La Habra it works. When I go to work or when I go more inland, you know, that answer doesn't get me as far. So
done deal. Good deal. That's
all
it.
Right.
Another
okay.
Dodger.
No, seriously, but you know, the fact that you have this educational background, I'm just curious, how do you see that bridge to be built between the educational system and the city?
I think, you know, there's, you know, utilizing resources like what we said about the library, you know, like, for instance, you know, part of my job as a principal isn't just running the school as a, you know, elementary too, but definitely middle school, and definitely, as some of you know, high schools, you're almost like a political figure in the community, that people are watching you, they're watching your school, they're watching, you know, what you're about. And so actually last week I had to go to the Orange Little League opening ceremonies just because we share the fields with them. And so I did an act of goodwill on, you know, sharing the fields and shake hands and wish everyone a good season and that sort of thing. And so things like that are where I see schools and communities kind of coming together, sharing resources, partnerships, sharing what goes on in the community, what's available, and letting, you know, because schools just, they are microcosms of the community. You are, you know, serving the children and the families in the community, that they really do all go together. And I think that's why, you know, one of the biggest things I try to have done in my administrative career and even in my teaching career is get to know the community where I work, because it's really important, and to make those connections with your families and to know how to best help your students and where they're coming from.
Well, I just have to say how impressed I am with your interview today.
Oh,
and
thank you.
Clearly your wisdom exceeds your age tremendously, and I'm just so impressed speaking all these languages and
thank you.
That you've done.
Thank you.
My goodness. Thank you so very much for being here today.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Okay, it looks like it is about 5:44.
Jace, I'm sorry? Yeah, one more, yeah. We're not calling to close yet.
No.
Jason Manley, welcome, sir. Sure, if you like. Thank you.
Oh, that's right.
You're upstairs, right?
Right, yes.
Thank you.
Okay, have a seat there. And we'll do it very much very similar to what we did upstairs in that upper room last time. We'll just ask you to, you know, briefly introduce yourself, and then we'll go around and ask questions, okay?
Sure. So my name is Jason Manley. I am a member of the community like everybody else, and I have six kids, a wife, and really involved in the community through church activities, coaching my son's Little League teams. Happy to see you guys there over the weekend with us. We missed you, Councilmember Espinoza, but it was good to see the rest of you. I own a real estate business, and I've been on the commission for 4 years, just wrapping up my first term. I think three of you here appointed me to my previous term, so thank you for that. And it's been a pleasure to serve in that way. I've learned a great deal in those 4 years, serving alongside Commissioner Nigzarian, and Commissioner Powell was a tremendous leader that I stepped into and learned a lot from him. So that's a little bit about myself.
Okay, Rose, you're up first.
Mike.
Being on the Planning Commission, what is an accomplishment that you are proud of?
Yeah, I shared a few of them with you there in the packet. I think, you know, Rancho La Habra was, I don't know if we consider that an accomplishment as much as we would a headache in a lot of ways, but that was, I think, man, trial by fire. If there's one project that you can learn probably just about everything from, that certainly was one of them. But I was a part of the Trader Joe's, that whole shopping center, was a part of... weird things. We see big things, we see little things. We had a meeting where Green Hills Baptist Church, wanted to put a shed in, and they had some kind of property lot, issues. And that was a minor thing. But one of the ones that I'm most proud of, I think, would be recently we had America's Tires and Dutch Bros going into Lambert and Beach Boulevard. And that was great because there was a lot of community involvement, not a ton of support from the direct, neighbors directly behind the center there. But the process, I think, was really neat because the community came forward, they addressed their concerns. Those concerns were kind of punted back from the commission back to the applicant, and the applicant modified their design, significantly, and then came back and sought approval, and then, the commission voted to approve the project and send it back to you guys. So that was, one of my most favorite, I think, watching the process work how it's supposed to was really neat on that one.
What do you see as a vision for La Habra Boulevard?
Yeah, the general plan. I think with we've approved a few projects over the last couple of years in the old Northgate Shopping Center, and watching those slowly but surely, start to take form, I think is really promising. I don't know from where you guys sit and where the city staff sits what we have coming in, what interests there are from different businesses, because we don't necessarily see that as much as maybe you guys would. But I think just the development of that area and what we can make of specifically like that center there, because I think for me that's the heart of La Habra right there. And you kind of go arteries outside on La Habra Boulevard from there. But whatever we can do to draw, businesses and whatever it may be into that La Habra Boulevard of the Bells would be great. Thank you.
Okay. Steve?
Jason, thank you for applying again. And thank you for your service in the past. Thank you for wanting to serve in the future. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
I have taken some interest and read the minutes from your meetings, and certainly on larger projects, read things, trying to figure out how you make decisions and why you make the decisions that you do. And one of the things that I find a bit problematic is that a lot of times commissioners vote, but they don't necessarily articulate why they vote the way they do. So it leaves a big void for me trying to figure out, you know, where is your head? What is your philosophy when it comes to development in the city? I think you see where I'm going with this. It's just difficult. And even some smaller things like the cannabis things, I believe there's a vote again, but no dialogue as to why the vote is what it is. Can you explain from your point of view why a commissioner would vote and then not say why they vote the way they do?
Yeah, and I think, thank you for the question. I think we experience that quite a bit, to be honest. And I think that, you know, one of my reasons for that would be, I think, just maybe lack of confidence or understanding of exactly what our role is on the commission. And through, you know, my term, I've seen, you know, a lot of turnover, and we've had some, you know, commissioners that have had to step away early. And, you know, one of the things that I think is so valuable is training. And I attended a training in Fountain Valley recently, and I was the only commissioner there, which was a blessing because city staff was there. And I feel like I wish the rest of my commissioners were there with me, because I walked away from that feeling like, gosh, that was in the last year of my term that I was, introduced to something like that. And I feel like had I known, you know, a lot of the things I carried away from there sooner, oh my goodness, you know, it would have been a blessing for the commission and for the community. As far as, you know, where I stand and how I come to make my decisions, the staff report is huge. You know, we're not the experts on everything, and so going to defer a lot of the expertise to them and where they're coming from and what they're seeing and the issues that they're raising. And then, you know, I think public, you know, comment, public opinion, public, just discussion, to me means a lot. And where the public stands on things, you know, is important. Now, for us on the commission, that's not the be-all, end-all, but it's something that we have to take into consideration when making a decision. I think you guys have a little bit more latitude on what that might look like for you. But for us, it's, you know, what is the zoning? What are the variances allow for? What is, a lot of those things are black and white. And I think staff is the expert on that. And just trying to make common sense of it as a member of the community, not a planner or an expert planner, but, you know, what do we see best fit in our community from our position, given the information that staff has given us? Because a lot of times, Councilmember Simonian, we come in and, you know, staff recommends approval on, you know, just about every project before us. Well, we can just wrap up and go home then if we're just going to, you know, go with staff's recommendation. But I think there's more to it, and that's why, to go back to that America's Tires project, I like the process, and I think that's why the Planning Commission exists how it is. And so hopefully that's helpful for you.
It actually is, and, you know, quite frankly, if all we want is the expert's opinion, we wouldn't need a commission at all. Actually, you're the first line of getting it to the public, getting it to the people who live here, getting the people who have to live with whatever that project is and all the things that come out of it.
Which is why I love the public interaction. I mean, your meetings have a lot more, you know, in the seats out here than we do. Sometimes we're here all by ourselves, and it's something that's, everything is important, you know, some things maybe more so than others, but when it's things that matter and there's nobody here, you know, it does irk me a little bit. Gosh, I wish, but I feel like the five of us up here, we are, you know, five representatives from the city to be a little bit of a sounding board for, okay, how do we think our community would respond to this?
And that's the way we see it. We know that you don't get an abundance of people who attend your meetings, even when they're controversial projects. And that's why we need somebody who's confident with themselves and their ability to make logical, measured decisions that are going to help us all in the future when these projects come to fruition, whatever they are.
Yeah.
So it's important that if you feel strongly enough to vote a certain way, it's so important to say why.
Yeah.
So that we get the feeling that you have when you're voting. Because we don't have a bunch of people,
sure,
like you said, showing up, that we can read their testimony as well.
Right. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Jose?
Jason, thank you for reapplying again for Planning Commissioner. And my question for Planning Commission is, you're familiar with Measure T, correct?
Yes.
I'd imagine. So it sunsets in the year 2028. If for any reason it does not pass to reinstitute, what are your feelings as far as what the city would do to make up for $7 million in revenue? What would we do?
Yeah, wow. At first, I don't know, because that's a big one, right? And from where I sit on the commission, I don't, to be very honest with you, I don't know what, you know, value, insight, and, you know, we would provide to the city as a resident. I would want to get my hands dirty on, you know, financial reviews and the budget and all those types of things. But from where the commission sits, I don't know where that would be in my purview. So I don't have a great prepared answer for you on that, Councilmember Medrano.
No worries. As a resident, what's your view on Measure T for our city?
Yeah, we need it. We need it badly. So whatever we can do as a city to try to push for that and make sure that it continues on and doesn't sunset, you know, those are the things that I think the city should be doing.
And one last question, local control. What are your views on local control as a planner, as a member of the Planning Commission, I should say?
What do you mean by local control?
Well, it seems like more and more the state of California is taking away control from cities, whether it be on housing, public safety, other issues, you know, that they want to legislate to take away from municipalities. What is your view on our local control? Should we give up some of that local control or hold on to it?
It's hard. You know, you see cities like Huntington Beach that are holding on for dear life, and La Habra Heights, you know, right here next to us a little bit as well. And I think we're, you know, not too far behind them. And I think that maintaining the integrity of what makes La Habra great and the smallness and the, you know, the beauty that comes from that is valuable. So I think maintaining a lot of local control as much as we can, it's hard because Sacramento ties our hands. The housing element, you know, and all of that is, it's a bear, and we have to do things to keep Sacramento off of our back. But doing those, and that's why over the last 4 years, I think the commission's been pretty involved in the housing element and coming up with, and staff has been tremendous on this, you know, something that makes sense, that will suffice what Sacramento's asking for, and also still maintain the things that we know make the city of La Habra great. And that's not to just build, which is hard for me as a real estate guy to say, but it's got to make sense, you know, and it has to make sense for our community and what we see our residents wanting, and that's important.
Thank you.
Darren.
Jason, good to see you again, as always. Yeah. As Jason said, we worked together for a number of years on the Planning Commission, always a pleasure. I'll build on what Councilmember Medrano said just a bit, because I want to even pick your brain a bit more philosophically, because cities all around the state, of course, are on both ends of the spectrum. Some are like Huntington Beach. Some are like, what can we do to realize the vision of Sacramento and build those 3.5 million houses? Is your gut feeling that we want to avoid having that NIMBY kind of thing in La Habra and adopt the goal of Sacramento and getting more affordable housing in town? Or do you prioritize, and I think you're kind of hinting at this, prioritize that idea that quality of life is first and foremost for La Habra, even if it means excluding some of these projects? What's your feeling about that?
Yeah, it's hard because in a lot of ways I feel like our hands are tied, right? Like Sacramento's saying you need to do this, and so we can push back to a certain degree, and then we're entering that litigation area, which I'm sure the city attorney is advising you and certainly advising us on. I think that the NIMBYism is real. We hear that a lot before you guys do on these, you know, building projects. I know we sat through days of testimony from the public on the Rancho La Habra. Sat right next to you.
13 hours.
Yeah. I don't know if that was better that it was on Zoom or worse. I'm not sure. But sitting through that and seeing it and hearing it and realizing, you know, what that means. But on Rancho La Habra, of the five commissioners, to go back to Council Member Simonian, I was the one vote, you know, in support of the zoning change, right? Not necessarily in support of everything else that comes with that. But so the confidence to push back on the NIMBYism is important, because you're going to get almost everybody that comes in here on projects is opposed to the project, right? We don't get a lot of people in here saying, I think this is great. I'd say, you know, maybe we get 1 out of 10, and the other 9 are here to push back on a project, which if we don't have the confidence from where we sit, and if we aren't doing our homework and really understanding, you know, what the consequences, outcomes of this project could be, then sure, then we can just cave to that, or we can do what we think is best for our city. And I think, Darren, Mayor Pro Tem Nigzarian, I'm not giving you, you know, a very maybe strong enough answer, but I feel like it's hard to, because our hands are tied.
No, that's fine. That's fine. You did good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Okay. Am I good?
Yeah, you're done.
Nothing from you. Thank you, guys.
Okay. Are there any comments from staff?
None, Mr. Mayor.
Council members? All I have to say, ladies and gentlemen, we have our hands full in doing this election. Thank you all very, very much to all the individuals that came to go through the interview process. We will be adjourning to the special meeting on Monday, March 20th, 2023, at 4:30 p.m. in the City Council chambers in order to conduct one commissioner interview. The adjourned regular meeting of the La Habra City Council will be held on Monday, March 20th at 5:30 p.m. in the City Council closed session room at 100 East La Habra Boulevard, followed by the regular meeting at 6:30 p.m. in the City Council chambers. We are now adjourned.